everybody. Welcome back to the Michael Lofton Show on Reason and Theology. So it's a really important topic for us to discuss today in light of some news that just came out on Pentecost in relation to a Cole Mattson, a diocesan Catholic hermit who recently came out saying that they are the first openly transgender person in their position. And so I want to take a look at that specific situation. But first, let me preface everything with some general comments here. I know that there's going to be plenty of people who are upset and angry, especially with a day and age when people are trying to shove down our throats a message and an ideology that is foreign to the gospel, that is foreign to the truth of sacred scripture, to the truth of God. And so often there's a understandable reaction to that, where people are just very angry and upset anytime we see anything related to that agenda. But I want to start out by saying we need to have some general discussions here about whether or not transgender persons should become Catholic. I've encountered people who claim to be Catholic, but will say, no, you know, transgender persons should not become Catholic. And I think that whenever we adopt that position, it shows that we don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ, the work of redemption, the transforming and healing grace of God, his goodness, his grace and mercy, is for every single human being. It is for everyone. Period. End of story. The gospel is for every human being, regardless of the choices that they make, regardless of the actions that they take and perform and undergo. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for every single person, because God's will is that every single person spend eternity with him in heaven, that is, enjoying God in the beatific vision. If you think that goodness and mercy is available only to a select group of people, then you don't understand the basics of the gospel. You need to go back to the very beginning. You don't understand it. It is for everyone. So should transgender people become Catholic? Absolutely, because the gospel is for them as it is for everyone. But that gospel message includes one of repentance. When you come to the church, the purpose is to receive God's grace. But in order to be disposed to receive God's grace, you turn away from sin. You can't cling to your sin and say, no, I want to keep this, and God has to accept my sin for what it is. Yeah, no, you don't receive God's grace when you do that. So, yes, the gospel is for everyone. The church is for everyone. But everyone is required to turn away from their sins in order to receive God's grace. God puts conditions on his grace. And repentance, a turning away from that which is contrary to his will, is a necessary condition according to scripture. You may not like that, but that is the truth. So while I want to say absolutely every transgender person should become Catholic and come to the church and receive God's forgiveness and mercy, that's conditioned upon repentance, not living a lie, and not insisting that others embrace that lie, but rather embracing God's will for their life. And so I want to emphasize that, because I already know there's going to be some people reacting to this story by going to the extreme and by pushing people away from the church. And I want to say, no, let's not do that. We want people in the church. We want them to come, But we also need to speak the truth and encourage them to embrace the truth in a life of repentance, just like everyone else. Transgender or not, we all have to live a life of repentance. Myself, you who is watching the show, everyone, we all have to live a life of repentance if we wish to receive God's forgiveness. Now, I'm going to read this story to you. We're going to explore it. And I know some people are going to be upset and angry. And to, you know, from one angle, I get that. I totally get that. Because, again, we're in an age where people are trying to shove down our throats an agenda that is antichrist, an agenda that is contrary to Jesus, that is contrary to the truth, that is contrary to God's will. And they try to shove that down our throats, and we're naturally going to react and say, no, I'm not buying it. If you love the truth, you're going to say no. And sometimes there's a tendency to get angry. But I want to say, you know what? Instead of being angry here, let's rather feel compassion. Let's feel compassion for people who are confused, sincerely confused. And let's show them the love of Jesus Christ. But let's of course, call them to the truth. Call them to repentance. Call them to embrace God's will for their lives. Rather than just be angry, that's not productive. Let's rather call them to what God wills for their lives. That would be a little bit more productive. So keep that in mind as we go through this. Now, the person in question in the article is Brother Christian Mattson, is how it's described online. Well, from what I can tell, this is a biological female that identifies as a male. And for a respect for the truth and a respect for this person, I will not address them as a he. I will rather address them as God has created them, a she. It's not meant as disrespect. It's meant to reinforce God's will for their life. And I will not participate in a lie. And I should not be forced or required to participate in a lie. And anybody who loves the truth would say, you know what? That's understandable. So I don't mean any kind of disrespect by saying she. It appears to me this is a biological female who identifies as a male. And so I will address her as she, not the he. Okay, so let's go through the article that discusses this. Okay, so this is from National Catholic Reporter, one of the news sources that addresses the topic. Catholic diocesan hermit approved by Kentucky bishop comes out as transgender. Mattson is thought to be the first openly transgender person in, it says, his position. If I'm reading that, that's not because I participate in this lie. It is because I'm simply reading to you what it says. But let's make it very clear that if God created Cole as a female, which I believe that is the case, then I believe that she's a female, regardless of choices that she has made or how she identifies. Okay, so here's a picture. It says, Brother Christian Mattson is a Catholic diocesan hermit in Kentucky. I submit that terms like brother or he just completely, again, reinforces a lie. And we need to stop doing that, not because we're trying to be mean, but because we love the truth and we want people to embrace the truth, and we love them enough that we will tell them things that they don't want to hear sometimes. Diocesan hermits by nature don't get much attention. A small subset of religious persons, hermits mostly spend their lives engaged in quiet prayer. Brother Christian Mattson, a Catholic diocesan hermit in Kentucky, has spent years doing just that. His monk's habit might catch his neighbor's eye, but he is known in the town where he lives primarily through his work in the local theater. But recently, Mattson decided that his faith compels him to make a little bit more noise than usual. Quote, "This Sunday, Pentecost 2024, I'm planning to come out as publicly as transgender," Mattson told Religion News Service on Friday, saying he was speaking out with the permission of his bishop, John Stowe, of the Diocese of Lexington in Kentucky. So Bishop Stowe knows about this, knew about it when he made her a diocesan hermit. I'm curious the language that he used during that ceremony. Did he identify Cole as brother? I'm curious. It does raise some questions. Mattson, who is also a Benedictine oblate, believes he is the first openly transgender person in his position in the Catholic Church. It is a difficult claim to confirm. Even Stowe told RNS he did not know for sure if Mattson is the first, but Mattson's status is at least highly unusual and comes at a time when church officials are grappling with how to address transgender Catholics. What is a diocesan hermit? Well, it is a hermit recognized by the diocese. According to Mattson, 39, his disclosing, as he describes it, is a moment years in the making. He offered his story as indicative of the often difficult path for trans Catholics, including those seeking life as a religious, a category that includes brothers and nuns. "I'm currently based in the Appalachian Mountains of Eastern Kentucky," he wrote in an email to friends and supporters on Sunday. "I live in a hermitage at the top of a wooden hill, which I share with my German Shepherd Rescue Odie, and with the Blessed Sacrament, which was installed in my oratory shortly before Christmas." Raised in the Presbyterian Church, Mattson converted to Catholicism in 2010. 4 years, he noted, after transitioning in college, a step he refers to as part of his medical history rather than a central part of my personal identity. Well, so the conversion happened in 2010. Conversion requires repentance and an embracing of the truth. I know that we all fail in fully living up to the truth and living up to the gospel, but the point is to continue to repent, to continue to go through that cycle of repentance and faith, to continue to wage war against sin and to embrace the gospel and to live holier and holier and to progress, but not to go backwards. If Cole converted in 2010, my question is, why still identify as a male when in fact you're a female? That's not consistent at all with living the truth. That would be living a lie, and living a lie from the very moment of your conversion. And I think that's unfortunate, because a conversion should be a repentance, a turning away from sin, a turning away from lies, and a full embrace of God's will for one's life. Again, I understand we're going to struggle with that. I get that. But it seems to me like from 2010 unto the present, I'm not seeing any evidence of a turning away from this lie. Now, I can't judge this person's heart. I certainly can't. But what I'm saying is we need to turn away from lies. We need to embrace the truth. And if one has been doing this from before 2010, they don't repent in 2010, and even to this day, they haven't turned away from it. Is that really consistent with living the gospel? Well, certainly not. After his conversion, Mattson felt called to minister to people working in the arts, but he knew he would encounter issues because of a 2000 Vatican document that, according to Catholic News Service report from the time, declared that anyone who had undergone sex change was ineligible to marry, be ordained to the priesthood, or religious in a religious life. So I want to say this. When you come to the church, you humble yourself. You don't get to tell the church, here's what you need to do. I agree with this, but I don't agree with that. That's not the way it works. The way it works is we embrace God's will for our lives as known by reason and revelation. And the custodians and guardians of Revelation is the magisterium. So you don't come into the church fighting against the magisterium. Rather, you let it wage war against sin in your life, and you embrace the truth that the magisterium provides. But it almost appears as if from day one, Cole wants to wage war against the truth of the magisterium, even if that's not the intention. Maybe the intention is to be reconciled to God, but it seems to me the actions speak otherwise when you fight against the magisterium and what it has said about this subject. Madsen approached a canon lawyer to discuss his options and was told that only two aspects of Catholic life were categorically off the table, marriage and the priesthood. And I want to say that's true because Madsen can embrace a religious life as a woman. And maybe she has a calling for that. Maybe she has a religious vocation as a woman. According to Madsen, the canon lawyer recommended being upfront about his status as a transgender man in any vocational conversations with the church leaders, and mentioned the role of a diocesan hermit, which could prove less challenging than enlisting with an existing religious order. The canon lawyer, Madsen said, effectively conveyed that there's no problem as long as there's a bishop who will accept you, because there's no distinction by sex and you're not in a community, you're by yourself. I'm so sorry, Cole, that that canon lawyer failed you. And I'm so sorry that Bishop Stowe failed you. It seems like there were a lot of people in your life who failed you. I'm so sorry they did that. They should have said, look, you need to live consistent with how God made you, because there's nothing wrong with how God made you. And so live consistent with how God made you instead of reinforcing this confusion. I feel heartbroken that they failed Madsen in this way. They confirmed her in a lie instead of challenging her lovingly to embrace the truth and God's will for her life. And let me again reemphasize, I am so happy Cole came to the Catholic Church. This is the place where she needs to be. I'm very happy she came here, because this is where God pours out grace upon people through the ordinary means of grace, that is the sacraments, and God wills that everyone become Catholic. So I'm very happy that she came to the Catholic Church, but it seems to me that people did not do a sufficient job in challenging her to embrace God's will for her life, and rather some people failed her by participating in a delusion, and that's not loving. That's a sin against her. They sinned against her by doing this. She sinned against herself, and they sinned against her. And that's tragic. What followed was roughly a decade of searching and no small amount of rejection. Living in the United Kingdom while pursuing a master's degree and later a PhD in theology, Madsen entered a vocational discernment program and approached the Jesuit order to ask if he could join. They said, no, we just don't see how this would work for us, which was crushing because that's where I felt called, Madsen said. You know, I don't know if that's the right response. It's not an issue of how this works for the community. It's rather, excuse me, but this is not God's will for your life to continue to live this lie. That's the issue. That's the problem. Other communities offered similar responses when they responded at all. People who knew me said, you clearly have a religious vocation. That may be true. That very well may be true. She might have a religious vocation, but it needs to be lived out consistently with God's will for her life. So as a female, either as a hermit, as a female, or a nun, you know, a religious order, as a female. And these were all people who knew my medical history, Madsen said. Look, I don't know the details of her medical history. I don't know that. But it appears to me that the way she describes everything. Basically, she's a biologically a female who identifies as a male and has, it appears, undergone medical procedures to conform more to a male. That's the way it appears. I don't know all her details. But if that's true, that is, again, living a lie. And that's so sad. That's so unfortunate. And it seems like so many people failed her. Instead of helping her and giving her the help that she really needs, they just looked the other way, or they confirmed her in a lie. You know, Pope Francis recently came out with a document on gender issues, you know, in Dignitas Infinita. Remember that document? And he has a section on this here. Let's read it before we continue the article. After discussing gender theory, the document notes, the dignity of the body cannot be considered inferior to that of the person as such. The Catechism expressly invites us to recognize the human body shares in the dignity of the image of God. Such a truth deserves to be remembered, especially when it comes to sex change, for humans are inseparably composed of both body and soul. And this, the body serves as a living context in which the interiority of the soul unfolds and manifests itself as it does through the network of human relationships. Constituting the person's being, the soul and the body both participate in the dignity that characterizes every human. Moreover, the body participates in that dignity as it's endowed with personal meanings, particularly in its sexed conditions. It is in the body that each person recognizes himself or herself as generated by others, and it is through their bodies that men and women can establish a loving relationship capable of generating other persons. Teaching about the need to respect the natural order of the human person, Pope Francis affirmed that creation is prior to us and must be received as a gift. Hold on one second. At the same time, we're called to protect our humanity, and this means, in the first place, accepting it and respecting it as it was created. Again, it appears that Cole was created a female. And we need to accept that and respect that. It says it follows that any sex change intervention, as a rule, risks threatening the unique dignity the person has received from the moment of conception. So Cole has infinite dignity, created in God's image and likeness. But these actions violate that dignity. And so they are wrong actions. Now it says this is not to exclude the possibility that a person with genital abnormalities that are already evident at birth or that develop later may choose to receive the assistance of healthcare professionals to resolve these abnormalities. That's true. I don't think that's Cole's case. Now, again, I don't know Cole's medical history and all that. I don't know, so I can't say for sure. But from just what I can glean from what I've been able to read online, I don't think that this is one of those cases where there's some kind of genital abnormality that healthcare professionals need to resolve. However, in this case, such a medical procedure would not constitute a sex change in the sense intended here. Back to the article. But when they would go to the people in the community in charge of making that decision, they would often just refuse to even meet with me. Well, look, I don't think that anybody should refuse to meet with Cole. In fact, Cole, if you ever see this on YouTube, you're invited to come on Reason and Theology. I'd love to talk to you. Be 100% respectful, but you know, I'm going to be firm in the truth, but I'll be 100% respectful. And I'd love to talk to you to hear more about why you believe this is the right approach, because I think that this is the wrong approach and this is contrary to God's will for your life, the best that I can tell. And so you're welcome to come on and let's talk about that. Let's talk about God's will for your life and for everyone else. And, you know, maybe for transgender persons as a whole, let's have that discussion. I think it would be very productive. In one instance, Mattson said a religious leader declined to meet simply to hear his experience as a trans man, saying doing so would be a waste of time. No, see, that's wrong. That's wrong. And I'm so sorry they did that to you. That's wrong. They should have met with you, but they should have then confirmed you in the truth and not confirm you in a lie. Certainly shouldn't have said that this, it's a waste of time to meet with you. No, it's not a waste of time to meet with you. Of course not. Of course not. I'm sorry they did that. But I'm also sorry other people failed you and did not confirm the truth. But Mattson's call to religious life wouldn't abate. While visiting a monastery during a retreat, he found himself unable to sleep, consumed with the idea of starting a religious community of and for artists who are living together, operating in the church through their art and ministering to the loneliness and sense of precarity many artists experience. And again, Cole, you might have that religious vocation, but it's as God created you, as God made you. And that might be what you're experiencing. I'm not denying that call. I'm not denying that urge to live this religious life. But what I'm saying is you can't do so while living a lie. That is inconsistent. And of course, there are also other ways to live this life without being officially a religious. So even if it's not God's will for you to live in the religious context, you're still called to live that life, even outside of the religious context, since every Christian is called to live that. So I'm not denying those experiences that Cole is having, but what I'm saying is there might be some misguidance in how to live that out. In 2015, he returned to New York City, where he attended college, having already taken private vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, witnessed by a spiritual director. Before he arrived, he co-created a nonprofit called the Catholic Artist Connection. The group hosted retreats and connected artists to resources such as the Archdiocese of New York's Sheen Center for Thought and Culture, where Mattson began working as a programming associate. Mattson kept running into artists who wanted to pursue religious life, he said, and continued to feel the tug himself, but roadblocks kept appearing. As I spoke to friends in the Archdiocese, I knew somebody with a trans background was never going to be accepted into religious life in the Archdiocese of New York, Mattson said. He tried again after a move to Minnesota in 2018, but his entreaties to various religious communities and orders were also rejected. I thought, well, if I can't find a religious community to sponsor me, maybe I need a bishop, Mattson said. A priest friend recommended different bishops to contact, beginning with Stowe, who was emerging as a leading voice among Catholics, calling for a more tolerant approach to LGBTQ people. In 2020, Mattson sent Stowe a letter conveying his status as a transgender man, his vision for an artist community, and his pull to religious life. Stowe wrote back immediately expressing his openness. It was an enormous relief, Mattson said. I was in tears. I felt my hope revive. Here's Bishop Stowe. Stowe confirmed Mattson's account, saying the then aspiring brother was recommended to him by a number of people. The bishop says, my willingness to be open to him is because it's a sincere person seeking a way to serve the church, Stowe said of Mattson. Hermits are a rarely used form of religious life, but they can either be male or female. Because there's no pursuit of priesthood or engagement in sacramental ministry, and because the hermit is a relatively quiet and secluded type of vocation, I didn't see any harm in letting him live his vocation. Well, there's two things that were harmful. Number one, Bishop Stowe, it appears, I don't know all the details, but it appears as if you confirmed her in a lie. That seems to be one problem. And then number two, Mattson is hardly private. As I'm going to show here in a moment, there seems to be a pretty large footprint on the internet, very public in many ways. And so this was not some private, quiet figure. This was somebody who was already well known and recognized. And so that gives a certain official image, and it sends the wrong message because Cole is living a lie. And it doesn't appear that you called Cole to live the truth for God's life, for God's will in their life. By the way, let me grab this from the chat. Father Brown says, there's a problem even with saying she may have a religious call. See the document, the gift of the priestly vocation, which bans homosexuality-oriented person from vows as religious. Yes, and that may be the case. It could be that what they're experiencing as a call to relive the religious life is a call to live a certain standard even as a non-religious person, even outside of that vocation. You know, as a layman who is a non-religious, there are various degrees in which people, according to their situation, might be able to live a religious-like life. As a married man, it's going to look very different than somebody who is single and has, privately vowed to remain single their whole life. So I'm not denying those experiences and feelings, but it appears to me that she has misunderstood the context in which those are to be lived out. But yes, very, very helpful. Thank you for that, Father. That's very helpful. So it appears that the bishop failed her, and it appears that the bishop didn't account for, number one, he's confirming her in a lie, and then number two, she does appear to be a relatively public figure. So there's nothing relatively quiet or secluded here. Especially when you come out and tell people, hey, I'm transgender, and you're publicly doing this. He added that Mattson's spiritual journey was consistent with the calling of that particular vocation. Mattson moved to Kentucky, having already made progress on Stowe's suggestion that he link up with an additional community through which he experienced religious life. Mattson entered the novitiate at a Benedictine monastery in 2021, hoping the formation offered by that path would eventually help him form a new religious community for artists. Finally, in August 2022, Mattson took his first vows as a diocesan hermit, a year-long commitment under Stowe's direction. And I'm curious. I want to know more from Bishop Stowe during this ceremony. Was Stowe, calling her brother? I'm curious how that works. Maybe he can tell us. Am I employed by the church in any official role? No, I am not. But hey, if you can get the dicastery for the doctrine of the faith to hire me, let them know. I'm available. Hey, you know what? Fernandez, I'll do it for free. There are people here who will support me to pay for the bills and to support my family. And they'd be more than happy for me to assist the dicastery. So I'd do it for free, Fernandez. So yeah. Let me know. In the off chance you ever catch wind of this, I'm available. For the next year, Mattson lived a life of basically spending half the day in prayer and half the day doing some form of work. That included producing and writing at a local theater. 3 years earlier, Mattson read with frustration a document issued by the Vatican's Congregation for Catholic Education titled Male and Female, He Created Them, Toward a Path of Dialogue on the Question of Gender Theory and Education. The instructional letter rejected calls for public recognition of the right to choose one's gender. Well, I'm going to say, well, that's part of the problem, Mattson. I'm so glad you came into the Catholic Church, but you don't come into the church trying to change what the church teaches, because what the church teaches is what Jesus Christ has taught in the deposit of faith and has given to us in the deposit of faith. You don't come into the church trying to change it. You rather humbly embrace that truth and allow it to change you. You don't try to change the church. You let the church change you. It's one of the purposes of coming to the church is to be transformed to the image of Christ. And you're going to know God's will for your life through what the church teaches. So part of the problem, it seems to me, from what I can tell, is Mattson has come to the church with a disposition of trying to change it rather than letting it change her. And it's like, you know what? You've missed it. You're in the right place, but you missed it. Let that church change you. Then you will be conformed to God's image and likeness more fully, especially the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. In 2021, the Diocese of Marquette in Michigan followed with its own instruction to priests to refuse transgender people asking to be baptized or confirmed until they have repented. Well, this is actually what Pope Francis has said as well. In 2023 of October, can a transgender person be baptized? They can receive baptism under the same conditions as other believers. One of those conditions is repentance. Transgender people don't get to be a unique category and class of people different from the rest of us. We all have to come to the church with repentance. If you don't have repentance, you're not ready to be received into the church. Now, you're called to come to the church. We want you to come to the church, but there is a condition. Repentance and faith. Turning away from sin. Embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot come to the church saying, no, I want to hold to my sin. You're not receiving the sacrament in any meaningful way. Yes, you have received that indelible mark, so it doesn't need to be repeated again, but you haven't received that grace, and that's what this document talks about. Your disposition is wrong. So yes, repentance is a necessary condition, because if it isn't, you're committing sacrilege, and we're enabling you to commit sacrilege. And we're allowing you to put your soul in danger. And so for people who love transgender persons, they need to tell them the truth. Turn away. Repent of this. Embrace how God created you. Because there's nothing wrong with how God created you. This is what God wills for your life. You're loved by God, and he wants you to live how he created you. It's Satan who wants to confuse you and for you to live a different life. It was suddenly becoming a lot more difficult in the church to be trans, Mattson said. In a sense, I sure hope so. Because the way I hear that, I hear Cole saying, it's becoming more difficult for the church to embrace me in my delusion and in my lie. That's honestly what I'm hearing. And it's like, yeah, I hope so. I hope the church is challenging you to turn away from lies. I hope the church is calling you to live truthfully to God's will. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It's a good thing for you. It's a good thing for everyone. But tolerance seems to be growing in some quarters, while Pope Francis has opposed elements of gender theory and recently called its proposals ugly. He has also met and dined with groups of transgender persons. Describing this as tolerance is all wrong. We tolerate people. We don't tolerate sin. People should be tolerated. Sin should not. Let's make that distinction. What do you mean by tolerance? Do we mean the sin? Well, I sure hope we don't give any quarter to sin. We don't want to tolerate sin. But we do need to tolerate people, of course. Of course. The church is for people, and the church is for sinners, and we're all sinners. So people need to be tolerated. Sin doesn't. And yes, Pope Francis has met and dined with transgender people. Of course. Of course. But that doesn't mean that we embrace the sin. Jesus met with prostitutes, but did Jesus confirm prostitution? Of course not. Of course not. Jesus met with people who defrauded others of money. Does that mean, you know, Jesus is somehow in favor of defrauding people? No. We need to meet with people, of course. That doesn't mean that we have to embrace their sin. No. So meeting with someone, so what? Yeah, okay. Now, I guess that does have to be said because there are some Catholics out there who wouldn't even meet with a transgender person. And I want to say those Catholics have not received the gospel themselves. They haven't been transformed themselves. They're in the same category as anyone else who's living a lie. They too are living a lie. They think that somehow the gospel is for the justified. No, it's for sinners. And they don't realize they're one of them. So I guess that needed to be said. But for me, it's like, okay, that doesn't mean anything. Yeah, we should meet with people. I think the problem is, but we don't need to give in to sin and confirm people in their sin. That's where the real issue is, not meeting with people. In November 2023, the Vatican Doctrine Department ruled that transgender people may be baptized and serve as witnesses at Catholic weddings, so long as it doesn't cause scandal among the faithful. You notice they left an important part out of the baptized part, though, right? You notice they only put a condition of as long as it doesn't cause scandal for the baptized part. That is true about serving as a witness at a Catholic wedding. That's not true of the baptized part. You notice that? Did you catch it? There it is. Here's the document. To receive baptism under the same conditions as other believers, which is repentance. Same conditions. They left that out. Look how disingenuous that is. Whoever wrote this is very disingenuous or incredibly ignorant. Who wrote this? Jack Jenkins. Jack, you got to do better. You got to do better. National reporter for Religion News Service and author of American Prophets. You got to do better, Jack. You got to actually read the documents. You're misleading people, whether you know it or not. In the United States in March, a coalition led by Catholic nuns released a letter voicing support for transgender, non-binary, and gender expansive individuals, implicitly rebuking a statement put forward by a group of U.S. Catholic bishops discouraging Catholic health care groups from performing various gender-affirming medical procedures. But overall, Vatican-level documents that have come out on the subject have not engaged with the science at all, Mattson said, adding that he believes many diocesan-level statements are inconsistent in their attempts to categorize gender and cite scientific studies misleadingly. Okay, here's the problem, Mattson. This isn't an issue of, oh, well, science says this and that. I think you have a misunderstanding of what the Catholic Church is and how the teaching authority operates. The science is not somehow going to change the truth of what we see in divine revelation, and that is male and female, he created them. It's not going to change that, and it's not going to change God's will for your life, that if he created you a female, his will for you is to live as a female. Science is not going to change that. And it sounds to me like you think that these Vatican-level documents merely have to reflect whatever the current science says. And it's like, no, you don't understand how the magisterium works at that point. The magisterium weighs in on matters of faith and morals. And if you think that the magisterium is completely in error on this point and has been for 2,000 years, I think you have embraced an understanding of the magisterium that is completely non-Catholic. It sounds to me like, don't you think at that point your church has defected from the faith if it has always been in error for 2,000 years on this matter of faith and morals? It sounds to me like you don't believe in a Catholic understanding of the magisterium, probably due to ignorance. So that's what I'm picking up on here. Mattson has sent multiple private letters to Vatican offices urging them to engage with transgender people and arguing that the church can embrace transgender people while maintaining orthodoxy. Of course. Of course we can embrace people. We don't have to embrace sin. And we don't have to confirm people in sin either. It's not an either or. We can both embrace people and tell them the truth and not participate in lies. As trans rights began to be debated in state houses across the United States in recent months, conservative lawmakers have begun pushing bans on providing gender-affirming care for youth and in some cases adults. Look, if an adult wants to sin against God and violate their body, I don't think that's right, and I will never confirm them in that. But doing that to children, wow. History will not judge us well. Mattson vented his frustrations to Stowe and his spiritual director, saying he wanted to speak out, but he said he was advised to first build a foundation of religious life for several years. No, I'm so sorry that they misled you. They're giving you horrible advice. It's not an issue of building a foundation. It's an issue of embrace the truth and God's will for your life and stop living a lie. I'm so sorry that they continue to confirm you in a lie and continue to give you horrible advice. It's tragic. During that time, Mattson had an experience that shook him. Attending a friend's play in his religious habit, he was approached by a student who identified as trans and non-binary. After asking if Mattson was a monk, the student said they were raised Catholic, but that their parents had rejected their identity, and the student felt like they don't have a place in the church anymore. This is just propaganda. Their identity is how God created them. And if the parents were merely reinforcing how God created them, that's not rejecting their identity. That's reinforcing their identity. They're just rejecting a delusion and a lie about one's identity. And of course they have a place in the church. Would that every transgender person comes to the Catholic Church. Please God. Every one of them need to come to the church and be transformed. Repent of sin. Embrace the truth and God's will for their life. Would that every one of them come to the church. Of course you have a place in the church like everyone else, like every other sinner in the world, myself included. And guess what? You don't get to be different than anyone else. You also have to repent of your sins and embrace the truth just like the rest of us. You don't get to be different. The call of the gospel is for everyone. So this to me seems to me like just propaganda. It's not an issue of saying people don't have a place in the church, transgender people don't have a place in the church. Anybody who says that, look, they don't know the gospel. Any Christian and Catholic who tells you that, they don't know the gospel. They need to start from square one themselves. They need to go to confession. They need to hear the gospel and embrace it. They don't know the gospel themselves. They're a Pharisee. They haven't been transformed. They haven't even started on the path of transformation. They're still at square one. But you know what? This is just not what the church is saying, though. The church isn't saying you don't have a place here. Of course you do. To put it in those terms seems to me disingenuous. It really does. It's not an issue of you not having a place in the church. It's an issue of your sin doesn't have a place in the church. Just like every other sin. Also doesn't have a place in the church. Like, this isn't unique to just this particular sin. Mattson responded by saying there were people in the church who would support the student, and Mattson prayed with them, asking God to show the student how they were wonderful the way you've made them. Well, okay, but Mattson, I don't think you were confirming them in how they were made. It sounds to me like you were confirming them in the exact opposite. What am I missing here? Of course they're wonderful in the way God made them. You too, Mattson. It seems that you're not living consistent with that. The student, Mattson said, grew emotional, thanking the hermit profusely and saying, "No one from the church has ever affirmed me for who I am." I thought that that's exactly what the parents were doing. I thought they were telling the student exactly who they were. And they weren't buying into this lie. Let me be the first to say to this student and any other transgender person, we affirm you in who you are. I affirm you in who you are. The problem is you're living inconsistent with who you are. That's the issue. It's not a problem. It's not a matter of not affirming you for who you are. It's a matter of we're not going to lie to you. You're living inconsistent with that. What am I missing here? Am I missing something? Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm lacking information on this particular part. Mattson, who renewed his vows in 2023, eventually began mulling a date to go public with his status. No. I have something to say, Mattson told the spiritual director. He settled on Pentecost, which emphasizes preaching the good news of God's love to everyone. Mattson, the good news includes the call to turn away from sin and lies. The good news is not God is loving and merciful and gracious, end of story. No, that's not the good news. The good news is God is loving, merciful, and gracious and will give you grace if you turn away from your sin and embrace the gospel. That is the good news. You're missing a key component here. Turn away from sin. You can't read the Bible and not know that. It's all over Scripture. It's all over the New Testament. Turn away from deeds of darkness. Turn away from it and embrace the truth. Put off sin, put off the works of the flesh, and put on Christ. You see that put off, put on dynamic, especially in Paul. You're missing the gospel. You have a truncated, incomplete gospel. And you know what? It's because there's a lot of other people who have it too. And they've only told you that one side of the gospel. They've only told you about God is gracious and loving and merciful. They don't tell you about that other side of, but to receive that grace, you turn away from sin. And it's conditioned upon contrition, or at least attrition, in a turning away from sin, not holding on to it. It would be like saying, you know what? Saying to a potential spouse, I want to marry you, but you have to let me continue to sleep with these other people. Well, you love me, right? If you love me, you'll let me continue to sleep with these other people. No. No. To be with that person, it requires that you stop sleeping with other people. That's what this is like. Yes, God's mercy and grace is abundant and it's available to you. But the condition is stop sinning. Stop violating God's will. And if you violate it again, repent of it. That's the good news. If you violate God's will after coming to Him, turn away, go to confession. But don't insist that the church and that God, more importantly, has to embrace your lie. No. He said it was also the day in which the church calendar, when he had been baptized years ago, that is Pentecost. He says, I can't stand by and let this false and at times culpably ignorant understanding of what it means to be transgender continue to hurt people. Cole, it sounds like you're the one who has the false and ignorant understanding of these issues. It honestly seems like the exact opposite. I don't think it's the church that is teaching something false or culpably ignorant. I think it's you. I think it's projection. I say that with all due respect and love for you. It sounds to me like you've been deceived by the evil one and you've embraced a lie. If I don't say anything and allow the church to continue to make decisions based on incorrect information, then I'm not serving the church. I don't think you understand what the role of the church is. It sounds to me like you think the church can defect from the faith in such a significant way like this for 2,000 years because it's had faulty information. I don't think you understand how the magisterium works. I don't know if you've fully embraced what the Catholic Church actually is. Both Mattson and Stowe said they are bracing for blowback after Sunday's announcement. So the bishop and Mattson say that. Madsen said he's largely unconcerned with online trolls, but is sensitive to people who are legitimately concerned. Okay, look, I can sympathize with the online trolls. I deal with them all day long, and I know she is going to be dealing with them as well. That's unfortunate, but there are people who do have legitimate concerns, as she says. Legitimate concerns that accepting a trans person into religious life means Catholic anthropology gets thrown out the window. I think you're missing it, Cole. I think you're missing it. The bigger problem is not just that. The bigger problem is confirming you in a lie. That's the bigger problem here. The issue of being accepted into the religious life is accidental at this point. It's not substantial compared to the real problem, and that is confirming you in a lie and therefore misleading you and allowing yourself to put yourself on a spiritual path that takes you away from God. The real problem here is confirming transgender people in sin that may send them to hell. That's the problem. That's the issue. Bearing false witness, living a lie. That doesn't get you closer to God. It pushes you further and further away from Him. That's the issue. That's the legitimate concern. If somehow the church came back and said, you know what, if you, you know, start identifying again as the gender that God created you, the best that you can, maybe you've had these surgeries, but the best that you can to undo this stuff, and you live the truth instead of a lie, and they accept you into the religious life, you know, as a nun or something. Okay. Now, I know that it seems like that's not going to happen, but all right, the bigger issue is not being accepted into the religious life as the gender that God created you. The issue is, I don't want you being separated from God for eternity. How do you not understand that? That's the problem. That's what the church is communicating. It's telling you that you need to embrace the truth and not a lie. That's the legitimate concern. Yeah, you will have online trolls who are just ridiculous. You know what? I get it. I sympathize there. But the problem really is there's a lot of people who aren't online trolls who really care about your soul. And I hope you listen. For people with such concerns, he said, he looks forward to engaging in dialogue. You are welcome to come on here. Let's do it. Let's dialogue. Let's talk. You will be received with respect and joyfully received on this show for a dialogue about the truth. Let's get to the bottom of it. Let's talk about what Jesus Christ says. Let's talk about what Scripture says. Let's talk about God's will for your life. I want to talk about that. And we can have a respectful dialogue. We might not disagree, but at least let's have an opportunity for you to hear what other people say who don't agree with you. And I'll hear you out. You don't agree with me, presumably. I'll hear you out. I don't have a hidden agenda. He says, I just want to serve the church. People can believe that or not. Okay. I'll take you at your word that you're sincere. All right, let's have that dialogue. Both the hermit and his bishop are prepared for the possibility that church officials may push for Madsen's removal. It's not the biggest issue. I mean, that is a problem because Madsen is a public figure and it sends the wrong message. But more than a removal, it's an issue of one's soul. Okay, let's say that Madsen is removed from the religious life tomorrow. That's not the end of the story. What about embracing the truth and living consistent with what God is calling you to? That's the biggest issue here. Embracing God's will for your life. Not just meeting certain requirements and rules and regulations, but embracing the truth and stop living a lie. That's the real problem. Stowe acknowledged that if I'm told by higher authorities, then I will have to deal with that at the time. I don't know what that means. That doesn't sound like I will accept what the church decides, have to deal with that at the time. That doesn't sound like one is going to submit to the church. That could be a problem. As for ever leaving Catholicism itself, Mattson bristled at the idea, calling the church my family. I don't want Mattson to leave the church. I want Mattson to actually embrace what the church is. Sounds to me like she's never really fully embraced what it is. I'm Catholic, he said. I became Catholic after I transitioned because of the Catholic understanding, the sacramental understanding of the body, of creation, of desirability, of the visible unity of the church, and because of the Eucharist. It's exactly those things that would tell you not to live this lie. So it seems to me like you've embraced a lie. It seems to me that Satan has managed to confuse you and have you thinking that you're living consistently with creation and you're not. At the very least, Mattson said he hopes that going public will spark dialogue about his fellow transgender Catholics. What about scandal, by the way? Did you consider that? Did you consider that you would be participating in scandal and that you would cause scandal and that you might actually cause people to leave the church because they see this kind of scandalous stuff and they lose hope and they lose faith? Did you consider that part? A discussion he believes can enhance unity among the body of believers, aside from the scandal that it would cause and the disunity that it would cause. He says, you've got to deal with us because God has called us into his church. Yes, and you know how we deal with you? Same way everyone else is dealt with. Turn away from your sin and embrace the gospel. You're no different. We're so happy to deal with you, of course. But you get dealt with in the exact same way everybody else gets dealt with. Turn away from your sin, embrace the gospel. Go to confession and receive God's grace. Turn away from lies and embrace the truth. Yes, we're going to deal with you in a way that's no different than anyone else. He says, it's not your church to kick us out. This is God's church, and God has called us and engrafted us into it. I don't think you understand what the church is. Actually, the church does have the authority to excommunicate you. I don't think you understand that. God speaks through the church, and God does have the authority to entrust excommunications to the church, and it certainly has. So I think you actually might be wrong there. The church can kick you out and excommunicate you if you're obstinately in sin and causing a massive scandal to the body of Christ. Can and should in that case. Now, I hope it doesn't come to that, although it really looks like you're pushing for that. I hope it doesn't come to that. I don't want you to be excommunicated. I want you to embrace the truth. But excommunication might be needed to save your body and to save your soul, as St. Paul says in the New Testament. You may not like that, but that's what it says. So I honestly get the impression Cole doesn't understand what the church fully is and is trying to make the church conform to her rather than trying to conform to the truth that the church presents, which is the truth of Jesus Christ. It sounds like Cole is trying to make God in her own image and likeness rather than the other way around. That's the way it comes across. I am going to step away for a second, grab some more coffee, and we'll resume with just a little bit more here in a moment. And I'll also take your questions and comments. Make sure to put them in the chat to @ReasonAndTheology. Super chats will get priority, however. Okay, I will be right back. Hey, friends, are you thinking about converting to Eastern Orthodoxy? If so, I have the book just for you. It's called Answering Orthodoxy. In this book, I engage all of the objections that Eastern Orthodox have against the Catholic Church. I respond to all of them, refute them, and I show why the Catholic Church alone possesses the fullness of the faith. Get your copy today at shop.catholic.com. The Legend of Zelda is Catholic confirmed. I love that comment. That's great. Yes. Okay. Let me share my screen. We heard from Bishop Stowe, look, there's no harm, you know, a hermit, you know, lives this private life, you know. Well, but then Bishop Stowe, according to this article, had no problem with her coming out as transgender. That's not very private. That's clearly intending to be public. And from what I can tell, she's been living this life for a long time, very public figure. Here's New Liturgical Movement, January 2016. Cole Mattson, artist in residence at the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Thought and Culture, the Archdiocese of New York's Art Center in downtown Manhattan, recently contacted me to tell about the residencies that it is offering for early and mid-career artists of all disciplines and so on. So, like I said, there's a pretty large footprint here, very visible, very public figure, hardly private. And this is obviously prior to becoming a hermit. So noteworthy public figure prior to becoming a hermit and even after. Here's an interview going back to 2011 with Cole. Again, a biological female, but presenting herself as a male. Let me actually play a clip for you. Very public figure. And so how in the world did Bishop Stowe think, you know, this is it's not a bad idea. You know, it's just private kind of thing. No, I don't buy that, Bishop.
And then only later he learned that he was Aragorn, son of Arathorn. And so since our family motto is from Romans, against hope, believe in hope. I decided when I became an adult to add a second middle name. I felt like, you know, becoming a man, you know, choose a name for yourself. And I chose
becoming a man.
Estelle.
Becoming a man. Since 2011, at the very least, has been living this life very publicly. 3 years ago, here's an interview with CFN Live.
Well, the mission of the Catholic Artist Connection is to connect and support Catholic artists professionally and spiritually. Joining me now via Skype is Cole Mattson, the Executive Director of Catholic Artists NYC. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, this is about supporting.
Again, very public figure. Here's another one. 3 years ago, being interviewed and presented as a male.
Hi, this is Kevin Pulaski from Paradise Found Studio, and today we're going to kind of go in a different direction. So instead of more the visual arts, we're going to get it more into the theater and literature direction, talking to Cole Mattson, and he's the managing director.
And he, again, very large footprint, very public figure. This is all before becoming a hermit. And then the bishop says, as she's a hermit, hey, yeah, it's a good idea for you to come out and tell people you're a transgender hermit. This isn't consistent with what the bishop himself was saying. Oh, you know, it's just a private, you know, thing that's outside of the public eyes, as if that meant anything anyway, because the bishop's still reinforcing a lie. Well, as long as this is, we're doing it privately, I guess it's okay. I suspect there might be theological issues with Bishop Stowe. I suspect Bishop Stowe might not have an orthodox understanding of this situation. Because otherwise he would effectively be saying, well, it's okay to live a lie as long as you live a lie privately. And I'll support you that you live a lie privately. Eh, no, that doesn't make sense. Seems to me like he probably has a deficiency in his understanding here. Here's one. This group is on a mission to help Catholic artists. This is from Aletheia. And of course, it's about Cole Mattson. And this was in 2020. Another one. 2011, Cole Mattson. Let's see here. Another one, National Catholic Register. This is dated 2022, Cole Mattson. Again, public figure, Cole Mattson, PhD. Howdy, I'm Cole. My mission is to serve spiritual and professional needs of artists. Again, very public figure. So going back to what the bishop was saying, let's go back to it. My willingness to be open to Helm is because it's a sin. First of all, she's not a Helm. So why participate in that lie? Is because it's a sincere person seeking a way to serve the truth. Well, it's not sincere whenever you're living a lie. Hermits are rarely used form of religious life, but they can either be male or female because there's no pursuit of priesthood or engagement in sacramental ministry. And because the hermit is a relatively quiet and secluded type of vocation, I didn't see any harm in letting him, again, there's a lie again, live this vocation. Two things. Again, I suspect Bishop Stowe is not orthodox in his understanding here. And then number two, if he is, then this is disingenuous because Cole has lived a very public life, living this lie before becoming Catholic, after becoming Catholic, before a hermit, after a hermit. So, yeah. And then it notes that Mattson and the bishop are expecting pushback. So the bishop knows that she's going to be coming out doing this. It seems to me that here's another example where a seemingly unorthodox bishop, and if he's orthodox, then he has a really a horrible way of communicating that. A seemingly unorthodox bishop is leading people astray and has confirmed people in their sin. Now, I don't know much about Bishop Stowe. Maybe I'm misunderstanding something. Maybe he's orthodox, but I don't get that impression from what I'm seeing here. Perhaps he can come out and clarify his position on these issues, because it sure seems that he's causing some confusion here and confirming people in their sin. So, let me say this. Cole, you're invited on the show. Love to have you. Obviously, you know my position is going to be one of presenting the truth to you, but I will do so in a very respectful and loving way. I am glad that you came to the Catholic Church. This is where you belong. You came to the right place. But I want you to better understand what the Catholic Church is and what your relation to the Catholic Church is and what your obligations are. It sounds to me like you are living a lie and haven't fully repented of this lie. And I encourage you to repent of it. It also sounds to me like you have a wonderful opportunity to present the truth to people, to model what it is like to fully embrace God's grace whenever you're confused about your identity. It sounds to me like you have a great calling and vocation to minister to people who are also very confused. But you can only do that once you yourself have embraced that gospel fully and are living the truth. You have to turn away from this. You have to stop living a lie. And you have to live what God is calling you to. And you will be in such a great position to help other people who are struggling as well. It sounds to me like you have a real calling on your life to minister to people, but you can only do that after you yourself have experienced that ministry and that transformation. You have an opportunity, however, to minister to trans people, and I hope you do the right thing and embrace God's will for your life, not only in your own identity, but also in ministering to other people who are confused about their identity. I ask that you don't confirm yourself in a lie and you don't confirm other people in a lie, but you help them lovingly embrace the truth. Again, you're welcome on the show. Let's talk about it. Want to hear more? Bishop Stowe's welcome on the show. Want to hear more? But it's pretty clear I'm going to be asking some probing questions if Bishop Stowe is willing to come on. Doubt very seriously he'll ever hear of the show. If he does, though, Bishop Stowe, you're welcome to come on. But of course, there will be very probing questions about your orthodoxy, your intention, your behavior in this situation. There will be a lot of questions there. Asked sincerely and charitably, with all due respect for your office as a bishop in the Catholic Church. But those questions will be asked because they need to be asked. You're in a position of authority, and you need to exercise that authority responsibly. And if you don't, it is 100% legitimate for people to address their concerns publicly. Because if you display these concerns publicly, people have every right to publicly express their concerns. That's Canon 212. So anyways, that's going to do it. Everybody hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Let me see if I can grab a few comments and questions from the chat. Make sure to put them to at Reason of Theology. Let me see if I can spot anything. I see a lot of comments, but how would you respond to critics who would say that people can be made with conditions that require correction and that this is merely another example? I don't think that mental illness and fixing mental illness is the same as fixing how God has created you biologically. I just would not put those in the same category. So that's how I would respond if I've understood your question correctly. I'm a private hermit, but I'm coming out. Right. It just seems very, yeah. Okay. A lot of comments, but I'm looking for some questions. Great show, Michael. Thank you. It's not up to the church to change for people. It's the people who should change for the church. Right. And I think that some people have misunderstandings of what the church is. And so they're trying to get the church to conform to whatever they want it to be. And that's just not what the Catholic Church is. Catholic Church is here to communicate the message of Jesus Christ and the deposit of faith. And that doesn't change. The message is always going to be the same. And if you don't like the message, that's a problem with you, not the church. And that's an opportunity for you to change, not for the church to change. So. Black T says, let them make their own cult. No, that's the wrong response. No, let them embrace the truth found in the Catholic Church. If they make their own cult, that is further confirming them in damnation. No, I want them in the church. I want them to embrace the church and what it is in God's will for their life, however. They need to do that in the church. Do you think her spiritual leaders think building the foundation would lead to heart and mind transformation, or that they just failed this person? I think they failed. Failed Cole. This is not the approach. This is not the way. Obviously, we need to communicate truth lovingly and respectfully, but I feel like people are hiding the truth and reluctant to speak the truth for one reason or another. What do you think is going to happen moving forward in that diocese with that bishop? He'll likely, I don't know anything about him, but I suspect nothing will happen. And, you know, it'll be business as usual. I don't know about Bishop Stowe. I don't know about his situation, but I do know that some bishops run their church more as a business than they do an actual church. And, you know, I hope Bishop Stowe, you know, shows me that that's not the case with his diocese. Married men and women who seek a religious vocation should look into secular religious communities. You don't even have to do that. You can live the life of a religious person the best that you can in the context that you're in without anything, you know, without any of that. All of us are called to that. Bill Pan says, great show, almost 100K. Yes, indeed. Thank you. They also need to have an incentive not to twist scripture. How do you do that if they embrace sin instead of traditional doctrine? Well, I do know this. When it comes to the sexual sins and communities that promote the sexual sins, inevitably every single one of them, to the person, to the man, twists scripture. Whether it's intentional or not is a different question. Don't know. I can't read hearts. but I do know they, to the man, twist scripture. So I think that is definitely a problem, a misunderstanding of scripture. Willful or not, people seem to misunderstand or completely miss the universal call to holiness and what that means in all our, of our lives. Yeah. You know, we've missed that one phrase or one word, repentance. You remember Jesus? Yeah, that guy. Well, you know, Jesus, the very God-man, told us in his first message, public message, repent and believe the gospel. That's what he said. Repent and believe the gospel. We want to talk about the believe the gospel and the gospel and the gospel, but that first part, repent, we always leave that one out. And frankly, what good is the gospel unless you know your need for it? Nobody's going to embrace something unless they know they need it, which is why in commercials, they always tell you why they need, you need the product before they tell you about the product. People aren't going to buy something unless they know their need for it. I was asking for a job today to ask what I identify as. I said goodbye. It's pretty wild. Hey, Josh Vargas has just become a new member. Welcome. Good to have you. Very based. No pants says. Indeed. Indeed. All right. Well, that's it. Hey, y'all, pray for Cole. Pray for Bishop Stowe. Pray for all of the people who might be misled by this stuff. And let's, of course, pray for our own souls and repent of our own sins, not just see what other people are doing, what they need to do, but also recognize that we ourselves need to turn away from sin and fully embrace the gospel and the truth and God's will for our life. All right. See y'all soon for another show. God bless.
Hey friends, I'm now teaching as an adjunct professor at Catholic Polytechnic University, and I am excited to announce that we will be offering the first ever Magisterial Studies Certificate Program. It consists of three courses: an Introduction to the Magisterium, Councils, Dogmas, Canons, and Decrees, and Evaluating Magisterial Teachings. If you want to further your education and learn more about Catholic teaching authority, this is the program for you. Check out CatholicPolytechnic.org and click on the certificate tab at the top to sign up for the course today.
Hey friends, do you want others to discover why the Catholic Church is the church that Jesus established? And do you want to help people make sense of all the confusion in the Catholic Church today? Help contribute to this mission by supporting Reason and Theology at patreon.com/reasonandtheology. By doing so, you'll also get access to exclusive content for patrons only. Also, if you want to deepen your faith, there are free ebooks and even courses that you can sign up for by visiting reason.podia.com.